Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see beyond everything. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com and be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Windshield. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now on to the KevCast. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder. Thanks for coming back for another episode. I hope you're having a great weekend, and welcome to Sunday. You know, our world values duty, but today's post is called Duty is Deficient. And I'm going to show you why I think duty is actually deficient. Like I said, our world values duty. You know, duty is defined as a moral or a legal obligation, or a required action. You know, our culture honors those who have a strong sense of duty, maybe in the military, or first responders, maybe teachers, and so on. We find ourselves doing a lot of things out of a sense of duty, and it may even make us feel good about ourselves. But is that the best we can do? You see, many years ago, I decided I would no longer do anything out of a sense of duty. I wasn't going to do anything I didn't want to do. Now, that may sound extremely narcissistic or selfish or something else, but you listen to me. I'm going to kind of bake this and hopefully it'll help make some sense for you. At the time, I was an executive pastor of a church, and I remember telling our senior pastor at the time that I'm not doing anything else out of a sense of duty. And that became a contentious argument because in his estimation of things, love obligates us to do things we don't want to do. And there's a case for that, but I told him there's no way I'm going to do anything I don't want to do. Now, listen to this. This may sound crazy, and I hope it doesn't, but just hold on for a minute. You see, for me, duty is settling for the lesser motivation. Duty is not tapping into the same motivation as love. You see, I wanted my motivations to be exposed and subject to the law of love in everything I did. And that's what compelled me to say I am never doing something out of a sense of duty again. I found something in love that made duty forever a bad taste in my mouth. I hope I can bring you to the same place. Now, look, some of you might be saying, doesn't love obligate you? And I'll say, no. I am never obligated by love. I am only compelled by love, or it isn't love at all. The thing that's obligating you is not love, trust me. That thing that obligates you is guilt, it's fear, it's pressure, it's something else. Love doesn't obligate you. Love compels you. It grips you at a totally different level. And once you get it, you don't want to work on any other level. Now, the precipice to see this spiritual discipline is found the very moment we are asked to do something that we don't want to do. And this is a crucial moment for us. It is a vital place of spiritual awareness if you have eyes to see it. You see, if we pause in that very moment when you're asked to do something you don't want to do, and boy, aren't those lists long, right? It could be your boss, it could be your children, it could be your parents, it could be your loved one, your spouse, something. It could be the cat or the dog. It could be a neighbor. Something is going to ask you to do something that you don't want to do. Now, if we act begrudgingly, If we do it, but we do it begrudgingly, we've already lost. We've missed the moment of spiritual awareness. However, if we can go into that place, we can find a loving motivation to proceed with what presents itself as unpleasant work. And that's the key. Focusing on the people rather than the task is a really good place to start if you're just a beginner here, right? If you look at the people around you and you say, you know, I don't really want to do this, but it's my daughter who's asking. And I love my daughter. And this is what love does for their daughter. Then all of a sudden, you can do it with a motivation of love. And it's not a begrudging thing. You're not obligated. You're compelled. Now, Jesus told religious leaders, he says, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. That's quoted out of Matthew chapter 9, verse 13. And what Jesus was telling them was these very devout religious people. Trust me, if anybody had a sense of duty, it's devout religious people. Go talk to your Jewish people like Jesus did back then, or go talk to your Christian brothers and sisters, or your Muslim brothers and sisters, or your Catholic. It doesn't matter who they are. Go ask a religious person who's very devout if they have a sense of duty. And Jesus is telling them, go back and read the Hebrew scripture. In other words, go back and read your Bible and learn what it means. In Hosea 6, it said, I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice. I desire the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. In other words, our motives are primary to our actions. Don't focus on the externals. God is looking at the internals. And so our motivations for what we, why we do the things we do are absolutely vital. Did you realize that we can do the right thing in the wrong way and it's still wrong? And conversely, we can do the wrong thing in the right way and it's still right. This is why Jesus could break the Ten Commandments and not sin while doing so. He had pure motives. You see, if we grasp this spiritual principle, we will possess the single greatest principle found in every single religion, and that's the law of love. If you don't believe me, look it up in Mark 12:28. They ask him, what's the greatest, most single principle we could ever learn? It's the law of love. So when we're called upon for action that we don't want to do, and let's face it, that happens quite a bit, right? We get lazy, we get self-focused, our ego creeps in, we want to do our stuff, not anybody else's stuff. It's really about our agenda, not someone else's agenda, right? When we're called upon for that, we need only find that moment to access love and compassion and mercy. And instantly, if you access those, our wanters change. Our obligations transform into pleasures. I know that might sound weird. If you are not able to access love, what I'm teaching you here probably sounds like total weirdness or impossibility. But by acknowledging what love does, this is what love does. We are able to partake in the transcendent motive that transforms our reluctant and stingy hearts. Now, if we're engaged in an action and it's not what love does, then we shall expect and endure the calluses that form and the resident hell that emerges when acting on lesser motives. And trust me when I say resident hell, because we all hate how it feels to be forced by either an external or an internal power, don't we? You don't want to be forced to do something. We hate it. That is the opposite of freedom. It's tyranny. Yet we sign up for it every day when we call it duty. Try instead to wait for love. And if you simply can't find love as a motive for the task at hand, Perhaps we don't even need to do that task at all. Try that. Try not doing it. Like, if you're a church member and you're supposed to go to church and you know it, but deep down you're kind of not feeling it lately. You don't really want to go. You don't really want to give. You don't really want to participate. Don't go. If you can't find love as your motivation, do not go. Don't let fear and guilt and all the other motivations be the reason why you do what you think is the right thing, because you're missing it, just like I have all my life. Now, if we're engaged in an action and it's not what love does, then let's not act at all. What do you say? Now, there's a time in my life when my job was to clean portable toilets. And let me tell you something about cleaning portable toilets. That is a job that nobody wants. When I'm pumping portable toilets and I'm on a construction site and the young tradesman who has the least amount of responsibility is asked to go and pick up the wood and the debris and throw it in the dumpster. When the lowest person on the construction site looks at me, the guy pumping the portable toilet, and feels sorry for me, you know you've come to a job that most people have no desire to do. It's everything you think it is and worse and more. Okay? So let me just say, this was the job where I learned how to find love as my motivation. And if I can find love as my motivation cleaning a portable toilet, you can find love too. You see, I found a humble place in my heart to love those who would use the facility. Instead of looking at the job of sucking turds out of a toilet with a giant vacuum, and believe me, it's a giant smelly process, I actually started to consider for a moment the construction workers whose livelihoods require them to use portable toilets. And most of their experience is people rushing through the job, not really cleaning it, not really stocking it with necessary supplies, and basically having this horrible smelling, terrible thing that is a part of their daily life. And I found something there that I said, you know what, I can bring dignity and humanity back to those whose livelihoods require the use of portable toilets. And I cleaned them. I did them like they needed to be done. Like you and I both know how they need to be done. We know that when they get that kind of funk, that they need to be cleaned at a deeper level. Parts need to be replaced. Things need to be fixed. I did it all. I left not a single toilet in a condition that wasn't as new as possible. And love is what compelled me to do it. Not fear, not, oh, I'm going to lose my job, not resentment, love. And it's a thankless job. And it's okay that it was. I didn't need to hear thanks from anybody, but one day I did, and it melted my heart. And so let me just encourage you with that story. If I can find love to do the portable toilet cleaning in a way that it hasn't been done historically, then you can use love as a motivation that can replace any sense of duty that you have. You see, love is the purest and best motivation for anything. Duty, it's only slightly above fear and guilt and greed and ego or revenge as a motivator. Turn loose of it. You don't need to do something out of duty. If you are compelled by love, then act. If you can't find the love, then don't act. Duty obligates us. Love compels us. If your life is a list of obligations, then good news for you. Your heart has great capacity for the motivation of love. You need to learn to find it, or you're going to continue to live in a hell of obligations. Don't let duty trap you into a loveless life. God is not pleased with diligent, ongoing duty when freedom and pleasure are available to ignite the same tasks. If you can't find love in your tasks, then you probably shouldn't be doing those tasks. Check your motivations and watch your life transform right behind them. Thanks so much for joining the KevCast, where we learn to see beyond everything. I hope this content has helped you, and I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or comments or feedback. Until next time, I hope you have an awesome day, and I can't wait to have you come back real soon.